love of God and what God has for them. But we have a few scripture references we're going to preach out of this morning. But I want to preach on reaching the lost. And I just want to ask you a question this morning. How many's ever forgotten your password to log in on a computer before? This is me. That's me. I forget. To this day, I'll forget what my password is to log in to the computer, whether it's my email account or whatever it is. You know, because you have to remember a ton of passwords for all these websites. I mean, it drives me crazy that I have to remember all these passwords. And if I don't log in, I've noticed this, that if I don't log in as frequently as I do other websites, I forget my password. So I've got to go through a process in order to get the password. They got to send me a verification code. They got to send me something in email. I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time for this 5 minutes I have to recover my lost password. But I think that reaching the lost, I think we tend to forget about why we exist as a church. If we don't log in frequently, if we don't log in frequently in prayer and in the Word of God, we'll tend to forget why we exist. We'll forget the password. We'll forget why we're here. Y'all still with me this morning? We'll forget it. And so we need to make sure that we actually log in and enter in our password. Are y'all still with me? It's important to reach the lost. That's why we exist. I have a question. Why don't the lost come to church? It's a good question, isn't it? Why don't lost people come to church? Why don't they come here on Sunday morning? Why don't they come here on Wednesday night? Why don't they come here? And this is actually a question that I'm going to be asking people like on the street. Like, I'm actually going to go up to people. I'd like for a few of you to go with me. And we just want to ask people, hey, what do you think the church needs to do? What do you think? Do you believe in God? What do you think the church needs to do? What do we not do? I want to hear what they have to say. And so we're going to do that. We're actually going to go out on the streets and ask these people. And we'll probably, maybe if we can play it on video, we'd like to play it in video and have the church to look at. What are people saying about the church? What voice do we have? Are they actually listening to us? Are they actually listening to us? Are they paying attention? So here's a question. Why won't the lost come to church? Well, I have a few things here that I felt that the Lord was speaking to me. Fear of judgment. Now, the Bible says that we can judge with a righteous judgment. How many knows that? Jesus said that in John 7. And Paul said that we can judge all things, right? Now, it does say that. But the kind of judgment that Jesus is speaking about is hypocritical judgment. It is this kind of judgment, all right? Y'all ready? Fear of judgment. Well, well, seems like we only come to church when it's convenient. Y'all with me? Real harsh, real going up. Seems like we only come to church on Sunday. Are y'all with me this morning? Seems like, and all of a sudden, we're starting to point fingers, and we have to be careful because there's some people still growing, right? Some people, and some people may have to work a job at all the way up to 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Y'all with me? Right? But we have people who are, and I'm talking about lost people who are just completely lost. They don't come to church because they're afraid, man, they're going to really strike some lightning to you and really tell you something and really, really hurt them, you know? So fear of judgment. Here's another one. Well, we've all sinned, and we may not say this, but we think it sometimes. We've all sinned, but what you did is a little bit bigger than what I did. What you did, that's a little bit worse than what I did. We do that, don't we? We put everything on a grade card, a report card, and we grade on a curve, and we think some sins are bigger. Now, I will tell you this. Let me just throw this in here. There are some sins that have greater repercussions, all right? They have greater consequences. But all sin is sin. And what happens is we can start grading people. We can put them on a grade curve. And if we start doing that, we actually miss the boat when it comes to grace. So we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just want to share one thing that I've experienced. I asked the Lord if I should share this because it's such a bad thing. But I know growing up, I remember one time there was a couple that actually they lost their child. And believe it or not, somebody came to them, went to them and said, the reason why you lost your child is because you're not in the house of God. Now I brought that up, and I know that's kind of like a shock. I've just shocked you, and it still shocks me when I still think about it, when I still say it. You have to be careful what you say to people. And I'm sure that was, and I say this with sarcasm, I'm sure that was very comforting to them. So we have to be careful how we say these things, because we can say things that one thing could really hurt. It could hurt a person 10 years, 15 years down the road. So we need to show love. I remember a minister, and I'm just going through some examples. Can I keep preaching this morning? Just going through some examples. I had a minister share with me that, because in the church, we've had some beliefs that we really emphasize that we probably shouldn't have emphasized, such as men shouldn't have long hair. Now, you may not have ever heard that before, but I have. I was raised up in the... Oh, we have. men having long hair or women shouldn't, don't wear pants, just wear dresses. There's different things that they believe. We emphasize those things. Well, this minister told me, he said he really preached on a man should not have long hair. I mean, he really preached on it. I mean, pounded on it. You shouldn't have long. And that man that had that long hair, he walked up, he got up while he was preaching, walked out the door, and he never came back. And that minister told me, he said, I wished I could rewind and go back and not preach like that and preach more of the love of God. Y'all with me? Because Jesus, he had long hair, And so what happens is we'll take a verse of Scripture and we'll distort it and twist it, make it say what we want to say, and we'll preach it, and we'll actually kill people's spirit, and they never want to come back, they never want to be around because of some of the judgment, some of the judging things we say. You got to be careful. Look at your neighbor and say, be careful what you say. So we have to be careful. Now, I understand some people do get mad at truth. How many knows that? You do tell the truth, people get offended. But if they're going to get offended, let them get offended at truth, not because of some silliness we do. Amen? Let them get offended at truth, not because silliness we do. And I understand there's some legit reasons of why the lost don't come to church. Now, I want to make a statement. You've probably read this on Facebook. God isn't looking for religious nuts. He is looking for spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. So we got to remember that we don't need to become so religious that nobody wants to hang around us. Sinners hung around Jesus for a reason, because of the love and the grace and the mercy that he had. And if sinners, people who don't know God, if they don't want to be around us, we really need to do some soul searching and think, man, am I saying some stuff that's running people off right now? Am I being really so religious that I don't even show God's love, that I don't even tell the truth? So we really need to ask those questions. So how many's glad that we don't that here, and we're really good at this, and I really, by the grace of God, let me say that, really good at this by the grace of God, that we're not placing judgment on people, that we actually try to lift them up, show them the love of God, and let them know that God has a plan for their lives. Amen? And praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we're not under law, but under grace. Here's another thing. We don't connect with them. And, some people say, well, why didn't they connect with me? Well, or why didn't someone talk to me? Well, why don't we talk to them, right? Why don't we talk to each other? There's no connection. So it's important to have a connection. Today, there's churches today, and I'm not harping on churches, but I'm just letting you know some of the things that I see that I've observed. It's not good to get people's visitors' information, write it down, and never call them or never connect with them or never try to contact them. Listen, there's no connection. We've got to connect with them. What would happen if we invited visitors to lunch with us? What would happen, not just here, and I'm not just talking about just in a church setting, okay? I am, but not just this church setting. I'm talking about even out there, outside the church. Invite people. Connect with them. Talk with them. People need that. They need fellowship. They need to know what it's like to be around a true Christian. They need to know what it's like to be around a genuine Christian. Some of them, their view of Christians and their view of church is, I'm superior than you. I'm holier than you. That's their view, a lot of view. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody, but that's some of them. That's their view. You act superior than I do, and I don't want to hang around someone who thinks they're better than me. Y'all with me? People don't want to do that. So you got to let them know, hey, man, hey, I'm the same boat as you are. I fail. Man, we're nobody's better than anybody, right? And so that's the message that we've got to tell the world. We've got to tell them that, hey, nobody's better than anyone. Here's another one of why the lost don't come to church. And this is a real simple one, because we don't invite them. You know, and I know some of us don't probably abide by this principle, this rule. I usually don't go to places where I'm not invited, right? If I'm not invited, I don't go. Now, Jason does. Now, he'll probably come to church, to the house, even if I don't invite him. He'll just come up. But anyways, that's besides the point. I usually don't go to places where I'm not invited. Well, what makes us think that the lost will come here if we actually don't invite them personally? Say, hey, I want to see you at church, right? But I want to tell you this. There's nothing wrong inviting them to church, but it's more than just inviting them to church. Y'all with me? It's about cultivating a relationship with them, being there for them, with them, guiding them in their life. Y'all with me? So it's more than just inviting people, not ruling that out, but we do invite people to church. Here's another reason they'll say they're all hypocrites. I grew up in church, okay? There's always been a couple, three, four, five that's been in church, okay? They're there, all right? It's just the bottom line. They're there. But I've said this before, and you've heard me say it before. Well, Walmart's full of hypocrites, and you go there, okay? Stores are full of hypocrites, and you go there. It's just, we're not here to try to read each other. We're here to help each other and try to lift each other up and let the Holy Spirit convict you. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts you, you'll stop all the hypocritical stuff. Y'all with me? And so here's another one, dress code. Where's your tie? You know, you need to look your best before God, because if you don't look your best before God, you're going to really hinder the flow of how you access Him. Now, I don't know how that sounds so religious. That is so religious, right? Now, personally, I like to wear ties sometimes. I do. Tie, dress up, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. However, if we get to the point to where we try to spiritualize the dress code, man, we're really headed down the wrong path. No wonder people don't want anything to do with us. Y'all with me? So we invite people, wear your camouflage. Pastor, I just came in from a hunting trip. Sorry that I'm just dressed out in camouflage and orange. It doesn't matter, right? I hear people say, well, I come in here, I'm in my work clothes. I'm sorry about that. I don't even know why you're apologizing to me. I don't know why you're telling me you're sorry. We're here to worship God. It's not about what we got on. It's about the heart. God looks on the heart. He does not look on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And so, do y'all see some of this religious stuff that I'm going through here this morning? We're really, really touching these things to let people know, hey, it's not about what you got on. It's not about judging others, right? It's about focusing on the Lord Jesus. Here's one. The preacher is irrelevant. The preacher he's not really answering questions people are asking, so y'all need to pray for me on that one, okay? Here's one, and this is simple. They just don't have a desire to come to church simply because they're lost. They don't know God. That's a legit reason. Lost people don't come to church because they really don't know God, and they're lost. And to them, they're asking this question, why is it going to benefit me to come to church to sit for 2 hours to listen to a preacher song? What's it going to do for me? That's the question they're asking. Why is it going to benefit? Now, we know that in the presence of God, you change. We know that, but they don't know. That's why we have to go. Everybody say go. That's why we have to go to them. Invitation is always important. Outreach is always important. And here's another one. I'll quit going through these lists of reasons. There's thousands of reasons that I could go. There's thousands of things I could touch on. Here's one. We get real political. How many knows the good news needs to just be the good news? Right? And so sometimes, now I know there's times where it's important, right? voting, all that stuff. But sometimes you can get so political that all they came to was a political rally, and they didn't even hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? All right. Proverbs 15:17. You couldn't get the scripture working this morning, could you? Okay, Proverbs 15:17. I just want to read this verse. And I'll give you time to turn there. And the reason why I touched on those is to let us know, man, we got to change some things. Because their perspective of us is, those people think they're better than us, and those people think they're more superior than us. And it's not the truth. It's not the truth at all. And okay, Proverbs 15:17. It says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. Herbs, vegetables. Let's say it like that. Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Or let's say it like this. Let me say it in modern terms, okay? Better is a dinner of broccoli, carrots, and all the vegetables you could think of where love is. Now, that's a vegetarian meal. How many in here is vegetarians? Nobody. Better is a dinner of vegetables, of herbs, where love is, than a T-bone steak, than a ribeye steak, Shane's chicken fingers, ribs with hatred. Now, we don't hate anybody because we're children of God, and we understand that love is important, but listen here. He's saying it's better to have a vegetable plate or a small house salad with people you love than a hearty ribeye steak with people who are fake. Y'all with me? This is what Solomon is saying here in the Word. And there are people out there, if they understand that you love them, man, they'll eat. If you just got a salad bowl, they want to hang out with you. If you ain't got no meat, they just want to hang out with you because of the love that you have. Y'all with me? Y'all getting blessed this morning? Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is. It's so important for them to understand that we don't think we're more superior than them, but that we want to show them love, mercy, and grace. Amen? I just want to read that verse to you because I know none of us in here are vegetarians. And that's the reason why I preached that verse, because I knew it would really get your attention about reaching out to people, to lost people. We need to reach out to our community. Did you know that a church can be very active and not produce any disciples? Do you know that? We can be very active in doing things. I got some scripture I'm going to read. You can turn over to Luke chapter 10. But if we become very active and real busy, we can do things that are church-related, but if they don't revolve around reaching the lost, then we're wearing ourselves out for the wrong reason. And so I'm just going to turn there to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 25, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. We'll start at verse 25 in Luke chapter 10. And it says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what's written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, how many knows there's a lot of people that want to justify themselves over things that are not right? Wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? You know what really is kind of, this is the only word that's come to my mind right now, creepy about this, is that he knew the Word. He knew how to please God, but he didn't please God. He could quote the Word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, heart, strength. You should do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, man, you got it right. But he wasn't doing it. It's a concern for me, for Christians today, and regardless of where you're from or who you are, as a church as a whole, it's a concern for me that we all know how to do right. We all know we should reach out. We all know, but we're not actually doing it. What did James say? He said, be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's very important for us to understand, man, we need to apply this word. Because if I can just, listen, the devil can quote the word. Right? Even the devils believe there's a God and they tremble. So it's more than intellectual assent. Man, it's something we believe. And if you really believe it, you're going to obey. You're going to put this into action. Okay, let's read on. Verse 30. And then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain preacher, that says priest, but I'm going to say preacher, okay? Now by chance a certain preacher came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Okay, he sees a man that's about dead, and he just leaves him there because he's on his way to the church. Something ain't right about this. Okay, verse 32. Likewise, a pastor, that says Levite, but I'm just going to say it in a modern way so we can understand. Likewise, a pastor, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked. He looked at him and didn't even help him. He seen him. Looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, and the religious people hated Samaritans in that day. They just hated him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Lord, give us compassion for the lost. He had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. You know, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. You know what he basically did? Here's my credit card. Whatever you have to spend, take care of him, and when I come back, I'll pay it off. That's really trusting. That's really trustworthy. All right, Jesus said, verse 36, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? I'm going to let y'all answer that. Who was the real neighbor here? The Samaritan was. That was the real neighbor. True neighbor. And he said, he who showed mercy on him, then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. What really concerns me about this passage is that it has a lot of relevance to us today. Are we, the church, too busy with activities that are not revolving around reaching the lost? And I'm not talking about us, okay? Which it is something that we really need to pay attention to. If we as the church, if we are not doing things and holding activities or ministries that are not really revolving around people, about reaching the lost, we can become like the Levite and like the priest in this passage where we just kind of look at them and say, well, this right here is a little bit more important right now because we've been talking about this a long time and we really need to do this. And man, there are people out there suffering that are lost, that are going to hell. They need God in their lives. We need to show some more compassion, and we need to start doing things that are related to the mission. Everybody say the mission. Reaching the lost is very important for us. And then when I read this passage, you know what? You know who I see in there? I see myself in there because I was the one. I was the one wounded. I was the one left there for dead. I was the one, and Jesus came to me, and he healed me. You know what? When some people read that passage, they don't see that, do they? But I see myself in that passage, and Jesus had compassion on me. Praise God. Amen? Jesus had compassion on me. What are we willing to give up to reach the lost? I know everyone, for you that has children, just raise your hand if you have children, family.